Hello, this is Lawrence, just giving you a little introduction to this episode. It was recorded in 2016, which explains why so many of our cultural references are out of date, and also why we have a little bit of hope. Please enjoy this episode of Bad Time Radio.
My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rob Wolvora.
And this is Bad Time Radio.
So this is our second episode. Hopefully a little bit better than our first. We'll find out. And we are talking about Spawn of the Subhuman, which is an episode of Dark Fantasy, which is a series that ran from 1941 to 1942. This is... I'm not going to say it's the silliest episode of old-time radio I've ever heard, but it's up there. And, yeah, let's go ahead and get into the summary. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
You're right. It was a weird episode. And you call it Dark Fantasy? I don't really get that. But...
That's the name of the series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why they kept going, Dark.
It was fantasy. Somewhat dark.
It was pretty fantastic.
It was definitely fantastic.
Yeah, this is a series that's kind of...
At least the ending was a little bit dark.
Yeah, this is a pretty mixed series. It's really weird. Some of them are fantastically creepy. They have this really interesting organ score that plays. And when you get an episode of this that hits, the music and the odd writing together mean that it will really hit. There's one called The Demon Tree that's pretty upsetting to listen to. But on the other hand, there's also a bunch of silly shit like this.
Yeah, this one was pretty silly.
Especially since they played it completely straight. Anyways, so let's go ahead and do the summary. We're going to roll for it, as is Bad Time Radio tradition, having happened once before. I am 1-2, Ronald is 3-4, Raul is 5-6. And it's 1. Okay, my turn. So the episode starts with two people on a privately chartered airplane. Raul, you got the names, I'm terrible.
Michael, and I never actually caught her name. They kept, like, garbling it. It was like, I can't decide whether it's Emily or Madeline, but...
We'll call her Emma.
We'll just call her Emily or whatever.
Emily.
Emma.
Whatever.
Yeah, sure.
Emma Stone.
I was thinking Emma Goldstein.
She's in the Goldbergs, right?
No. She's, I think she's, assuming I've got the name right, a famous anarchist philosopher.
Oh, yeah? Can you bring her up on the big screen?
No, we don't have a big screen. Wait, shoot! We should have used sound effects to trick people to think we had one.
Did she co-write the Anarchist Cookbook? Is
no,
that what you're trying to tell me.
No,
oh.
She far predates it. So, anyways, Michael and Emma are on a privately chartered airplane. Apparently, Emma has just performed in an opera and gotten really good reviews. And Michael has an ambiguous relationship with her. We know. He put on a, or he's the one who, like, founded the show, or funded the show. But on the other hand, he also sort of seems like he's into her. There's nothing in the text to support it, but on the other hand, they're hanging out together on a private jet. I wouldn't do
and
that.
And they're going on vacation together.
Yeah.
And he spent a lot of money turning her into a star.
Well, that could just be that he thought she was going to be a star and he wanted to make money out of her.
I mean, that's like saying any agent is just looking for sexual work.
I've been involved in the industry for quite some time. And
no, you haven't.
Yeah, let's move ahead.
This is a new...
To our listeners, if there are any, he is not.
This is a new improv technique we're trying out. It's called no, just no. It's kind of the opposite of yes and I think it's got legs. So anyways, they're on this airplane. It's a privately chartered airplane, and they're flying, we think, somewhere around Mexico on a vacation to get away from her smashing success on Broadway. Apparently, they're leaving right after... Not Broadway, in an opera, which is will come up later. And apparently they're leaving after opening night because this is an opera that was only going to be performed once, which weird. I don't know how operas worked in the 1940s. That doesn't sound right.
I don't know how they work now.
I've actually been in an opera.
You've been in an opera?
Yeah.
You were the Phantom.
No, that's actually not an opera.
You were the opera.
Well, he's in an opera in the musical.
I was when I was little. I was in La Boheme and Tosca as, like, you know, members of, like, the chorus.
Oh, were you the trumpet in the Tosca?
What do you think a Tosca is? Because it's an opera that doesn't really have.
No, Tosca is an opera about a bunch of musical instruments that are anthropomorphic.
What?
Yeah, it's kind of like that game Banjo-Kazooie.
That's awesome. Man, I'm not going to explain the plot of Tosca to you guys, partially because I don't remember
it. But you will explain the plot of Banjo-Kazooie. Okay, so it starts off with this mole named Bottles.
Really?
Bottles is a boss, let me tell you. Actually, I don't know the plot of Banjo-Kazooie.
So. Yeah, I think there's a bear who hangs out with a bird.
That's definitely true.
Yeah. I mean, so, that the entire plot, basically.
And they fight a crocodile?
There's that donkey. They fight a witch.
Oh. Okay. Yeah. Makes slightly less sense.
Jeez.
Well,
it got dark, man.
Yeah. I don't remember exactly. I think the witch kidnapped Banjo's sister and is going to use her in some ritual. I'm not really sure.
Like a sacrifice to a higher power?
Possibly. Oh, yeah. Cool. It's been a while.
One sec, I'm taking our love. So, anyway, getting back to the plot a little bit. They're on this chartered airplane. They've left after opening day, which weird to me, but I don't know opera. And they are flying above Mexico. Then Emma starts to get this weird feeling, like something horrible is going to happen.
And when she gets this feeling, she needs sexual healing.
You guys can't see it. I am glaring at Ronald for you. I feel that that was a poor joke and that he can do better.
I thought it was excellent.
I mean,
10 out of 10.
The thing is, I'm just trying to summarize the plot here, Lawrence. So...
Yeah, you don't need to get, like, upset about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, you know? Like, I wouldn't really consider it a joke. You know what I mean?
So anyway, she is utterly convinced that something horrible is going to happen, and she had this feeling once before, 5 years ago.
Deja vu.
Yeah, that's when you have a feeling that something's happened before that hasn't.
So this is boo, deja.
I don't know. I don't know enough much. Anyways... So she's like, something horrible is going to happen. This happened 5 years ago. I was out driving, and I was convinced something horrible was going to happen. It was the same day that my friend, who was some other opera singer, disappeared. And I got into a horrible car crash because I was so upset by this feeling. And this horrible rainstorm came out of nowhere that day. This sets up something where you think the rainstorm's going to matter, but it really doesn't.
Yeah, and she says she... felt like she was being chased by like evil spirits or something.
Yeah.
Some bullshit. And that was the reason she was speeding.
Well, I was thinking that maybe the guy was like behind him.
Then we find out he isn't.
Yeah, I would have expected that too.
It really would have made a lot more sense.
I'm confused though, because didn't he say he chloroformed?
He chloroformed Stefan? The other dude. Yeah, we'll deal
wasn't
with
he
that.
In the car?
No.
No.
He was going
anyways,
to a doctor's
he went
appointment.
Separately. He went separately.
He was going to a doctor's appointment.
Let's get back to
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so then she looks out the window and, oh no, there's a rainstorm happening. And then they're like, oh my God, why doesn't the pilot see it? It must have come out of nowhere, just like it did 5 years ago when that dude disappeared and I got in a car crash.
That fateful day.
Yeah. So they fly. So then the pilot flies up above the air or above the storm. And that is the end of the first act.
Yeah. And there's like a lot of details about the storm that don't ever matter. Like the guy that's the manager or whatever with the opera singer is trying to reassure her that it's not that it's different and that it's just an electrical storm and not an actual rainstorm,
which I would think an electrical storm would actually be scarier on an airplane than an
rainstorm. I think he's just trying to convince that because they already heard thunder, so they knew there was lightning.
Or maybe he's like, okay, last time there was a storm and it was raining, this time no rain.
I mean, definitely, but none of it really matters in the end. And then there's also a part where she's like, look, the plane doesn't look like it was in the rain, and that doesn't ever pay off either.
Yeah, the point, so the whole, everything we get out of this first act, which is, you know, 6 minutes, it's a lot better than last week's episode where the first act was like 10 or 15 and nothing happened. But what we get out of this is opera singer on plane with manager booked plane, private plane, but big plane. The pilot is apparently a pretty good pilot. And she has a friend who disappeared 5 years ago, which I think you could have disposed of in like 2 minutes, but they took a six and babbled about a rainstorm.
So at this time, did they have jets when they recorded this episode, or what kind of plane would this have been?
I believe that this would not have been a jet. I think there might have been some experimental military jets at this time.
So it's a propeller plane.
Probably.
Okay.
I don't claim to be an expert.
Yeah, yeah. But they sleep for like 8 hours on this crazy long flight.
Well, the cabin must have been pressurized, mm-hmm. though, right?
Well, definitely that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, unclear what kind of jet it was.
If we're just trying to lay out very specific technical details plane that don't matter.
I was just wondering if, like, you know, like, heavy rain in a propeller plane feels different than when you're in a jet. Like, if it's actually scary to be in heavy rain in a propeller plane. I have no idea.
Yeah.
Having been in one, like, once ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I was in a propeller plane once. It was unpleasant, but that might have also been that I was extremely sleep-deprived at the time and was throwing up.
No, I don't think that was at all.
I one time lassoed an MQ-9, which is technically a propeller plane.
Oh, shit, you're Wonder Woman?
It just that's flew around awesome. While I...
Oh, and you just kind of like twirled yeah. around and then threw it?
Yeah.
That was pretty that's cool. Sick.
It was cool.
I didn't know you were such a badass, Ronald.
You're so strong.
I'm glad we have you on this podcast.
I know.
Also, yeah, for the podcast listeners, Ronald's also really attractive.
He does not at all look kind of like Steve from American Dad.
Not at all. Let's keep that one clear.
Yeah. I'm gonna say kind of like Oscar Isaacs mixed with a little bit of Ryan Gosling.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that.
Yeah.
Maybe even a little bit of Bradley Cooper in there.
Yeah, a little bit. Whereas I just look like a young Woody Allen. And Rahul, we're not gonna describe him because
he looks like Apu from The Simpsons.
I said we weren't gonna describe him so we could avoid this, Ronald.
That's more racist than what I said.
I'm pretty much the most ignoring attractive person I know.
Yeah, he looks like a hot Bollywood star whose name I don't know. So, in conclusion, ladies, you want a piece of us, but we are all married except for Raul, who is married to the sea because
he's a captain of his own boat.
The weird thing, it's a green card marriage. Nobody understands it.
My heart is salty.
Anyways. Second act dawns. They have landed in Cintilla, which we think is a small Mexican village, but it's possible it's a California. They talk about how they're heading to Monterrey, which I think there's a Monterrey in California, but also one in Mexico.
Monterrey Bay?
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. So we're not sure. Ronald's Googling it.
I'm Googling it.
They land, then they get back on the plane, and it takes off perfectly. And then they start to... they talk a little bit more... Emma's like, I'm going to read this fashion magazine because we're only an hour out away from Monterey. Then they, like, nod off and they look out of the plane's windows and go, we're over water. The place we're going is not over water. Something's wrong.
Yeah.
They go up to the cabin and they start, the pilot's cabin, and they start banging on the door. It's locked and the window is covered. You know, it's also really... interesting to think that in a pre-9/11 world, it was totally okay to just go try to essentially break into the pilot's cabin. That shit
would not fly
today.
When you're the only two...
On a chartered flight, yeah.
Yeah, on a chartered flight that you basically paid the pilot. I don't know, that's a little different.
Fair enough.
But then the pilot, like, pulls back the curtain.
And they're like, oh my god, his arm is so hairy.
Well, they describe it as like a great hairy arm pulls back the curtain.
They don't have that accent at all.
No, a great hairy arm pulls back the curtain.
Yeah, so they're like, oh my god, our pilot was more hirsute than we thought. And they start freaking out about that. And then they look through the window, and the pilot is a gorilla.
It's a dirty monkey.
That's the plot twist. That's the big plot twist, is that the pilot is a gorilla.
And they're like, well, gorilla. We saw the pilot get off, our old pilot get off the plane, and we didn't see him get on. And then when I like told him to take off, his back was to me, and I guess I must have darn this that he was a goddamn gorilla.
That is actually basically how it plays out. Like, Lawrence isn't even exaggerating.
They're like, well.
Yeah, they feel the need to justify this, but they justify it in the worst possible way, as opposed to I just talked to him over the intercom or something. They're just like, I didn't notice from the back that
they don't want to reveal that the gorilla can talk, so...
Yeah, that's fair. But spoiler alert, the plane lands and the gorilla can talk.
You know, their reaction to it is, I would have expected...
They take it pretty well.
I mean, yeah, I would have expected them to, like, keep pounding on the door or something, but no, he just lands it very well. They're like
wow, they kind of congratulate him.
Although, I mean, at that point, I would say, don't scare the gorilla that's flying the airplane, because he seems to sort of know what he's doing, but if you keep banging on the door, maybe he'll lose it.
Yeah.
Know. Maybe you wanted to
leave. I mean, what do you do in that situation? If you, like, jumped out of the plane, you'd just be in the middle of the ocean.
Yeah, there's no good solution to the pilot of your airplane suddenly is a gorilla.
Well, and he's not taking you to where you wanted to
go.
Why
don't you take over?
Because I don't know how to fly the plane.
There's a manual in the glove box.
And also, how would you take out the gorilla?
That's true. But
like,
I mean,
the stronger than
you shoot him in the back of the head.
They don't have a gun.
You shoot him in the back of the head.
They don't have a gun.
I can go all day.
I think you might be. Never mind.
Wait. Oh, you mean how does that disable the gorilla?
What are you talking about, Lawrence?
Let the record show I just made a masturbation gesture, indicating the
it
kind
has been
of
record. It has been noted in the record.
Indicating
strike
the kind
that from the record.
To sort of indicate the kind of shooting I thought Raul might be talking.
No,
about.
I was talking about literally shooting the gorilla that stole your plane in the back of the head and then taking over and flying yourself to safety. But
literally shooting him with
a gun you don't have.
Yeah, see, that's what we thought.
I was talking about murder, Lawrence. What the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah, man. Lawrence, you take it to a dark place every time.
I was talking about love and healing.
And jerking off
just
onto
went
the back
to
of a gorilla.
Every time.
Yeah, I mean, nothing screams love like unconsensually jerking off on the back of someone.
Especially if that person is a gorilla who. I don't think animals can give consent.
This one might.
This one could.
They didn't know that at the time, though.
That's fair.
It's easier.
I don't know if they could, though, because, you know, the cabin was locked and all that.
It's easier to ask for permission later. I read that in a book.
That book was not a good guide to how to navigate the world of sex.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. One, definitely don't take that in terms of sex. Two, the saying is definitely it's easier to ask for forgiveness than. Permission.
Yeah.
Yeah, what I said was that.
So.
And don't try that with crimes.
Or sex.
Or
in
really,
fact,
really anything.
Yeah, like 90% of things don't do that. Yeah. So, and then they land, and the gorilla comes back, and he starts talking. He's like, I will take you to the doctor. And I think that's the end of the act, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really that clearly defined.
Yeah, this one doesn't. This one must have. Well, there were places where the audio faded out, and I think there must have been commercials at some point, but it looks like they cut them from this audio broadcast. It's not like something like Inner Sanctum where they actually had the commercials worked into the episode. We need to talk about Inner Sanctum at some point. That show's crazy.
Good or bad?
No, it's awful. But well, the episodes are of variable quality. But the weird thing about Inner Sanctum is that the episodes I have heard. There were two hosts, one of whom was essentially like a more aggro crypt keeper. You know, a lot of corpse puns and stuff about how a dead studio audience and their corpses all around and he might murder you. Hmm. And then the other host, who was apparently his wife, but I'm not sure, was this really chipper lady who would not shut up about how great Lipton tea was. So it's like, nice to meet you, with meat spelled M-E-T because I'm going to hit you with this cleaver. And then she's like, that's not very nice. You should have some tea.
Maybe she's being paid by the Lipton.
I'm sure she was, but it's still a very odd gimmick to sell her.
Nestle,
it's like this murderer's wife likes this tea.
And like, yeah, why would anyone want to be with, like, you know, whatever he is, a zombie or...
Actually, I
could
do some tea right now.
I do.
Some tea?
Yeah, I mean, I'm always down for Lipton brand tea.
Get it in your local supermarket.
The other kinds are garbage, though.
Yeah. I can honestly say that if you drink
Kroger,
a different kind
of
tea,
that
kind with the bears on it, I heard that stuff is literally dried up bear shit in bags.
What?
That tea with the bears on it? I don't think it's fucking Lipton, and I don't want anything celestial seasonings or some shit.
Whoa,
fuck them.
This bear thing, I'm kind of.
Unless they want to sponsor us.
Well, no, we're already not sponsored by the Lipton Corporate. Look, Ronald.
Look, man, we take whatever money is.
We sidebar. We are sponsored by Lipton, but it's very important that the millennials who are listening don't know that because they value authenticity.
Right. Nobody likes it when you recognize a product if they pay you to recognize it.
Yeah, we just happen to really think that Lipton is the best tea, and I don't happen to think that tea is disgusting leaf water that no sane person should ever drink.
Yeah.
I don't think that at all. It's delicious, it's refreshing, gives you just the right amount of caffeine.
Speaking of drinks, how's this Coke Zero, dude?
Whoa, man, we don't talk about that.
I like the way it's got a faint taste, tinge of ginger. Anyways, so the gorilla is like, let me take you to the doctor. And they've apparently landed up somewhere in the mountains, unclear which mountains, and the ape leads them into some kind of compound. It's not really described. I actually kind of admire the economy of the descriptions in this, because they're like, it's on a plane, now they've landed somewhere, you don't really need to know where. We'll describe the few things you need. And
they don't even describe, like, is it a jungle? Is it...
We know it's the mountains. Okay, one more sentence would have been cool, but...
Because I just was kind of wondering where they were geographically.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Because they flew over the ocean, so I assume they went to some island, but...
I thought they went to an island, too, where the laboratory was.
Yeah, an island with mountains, maybe?
Possible.
Yeah, that would...
Jurassic Park, you know?
I don't think Jurassic
Park... Not totally without precedent to have mountains on an island.
You know, I don't want to salt your game too much. I don't think that if Isla Nublar has mountains, they figure prominently in Jurassic Park. Like, the film gives you no evidence that it has mountains.
Doesn't it?
No.
Jurassic Park 2?
Jurassic Park 3, maybe?
3.
Well, Jurassic Park 2 and 3 take place on a different island.
Whatever. They're all around the same thing.
Which dinosaurs on an island. That's the one the first one's on. I think the second one's Isla Sorna.
What's the third?
And then the third one's Isla Fuckbar. And the fourth one is Isla Ackbar, but you don't want to go there. It's a trap.
Yep.
Nice. I hate myself after that joke so much.
You must.
No, actually, the last one's Isla Nublar again. Right?
Yeah, they go back.
They go back.
I haven't seen Jurassic World.
You're not missing much.
I heard it was kind of dumb.
Yeah, so they end up on this.
They end up on Dinosaur Island somehow.
You're not far off. They're clear. It's at this point. It's clearly a Isle of Dr. Monroe trip.
Yeah,
but the nature of the trip is astounding. So the ape takes them to meet the doctor, and the doctor talks to them for a little bit about how awesome it is that he managed to train an ape to act like a human, which is pretty impressive. I mean, Coco the gorilla does not know how to land a plane.
Well, that's true.
I don't know.
This is some next level shit. I mean,
that's true. Yeah, but they haven't attempted it.
That's fair. Yes.
Anyway, but when they land, doesn't Dr. Luther's like, "Hello, Stefan," or something?
Oh, right. It turns out the gorilla's name is Stefan.
Yeah, which was confusing because I thought that he just like genetically modified Stefan to look more like a gorilla.
Yeah, that would be a classic Monroe trip.
Right.
But it turns
exactly.
Because
I thought this
dumber.
Was just based on Dr. Monroe.
Only stupider.
Yeah. Well, especially once you find out what he actually did.
Yeah.
Which is...
It turns out he found this gorilla, he trained it, then he taught it to talk, sort of, and then he cut out the opera singer who had disappeared 5 years ago vocal cords and put them in this gorilla and taught this gorilla to sing opera as part of a scheme to show the world that they were stupid for not believing that you could train a gorilla to sing opera, and also to make a lot of money by showing off his gorilla that
this
can sing opera.
This was his, like, long-term mad scientist plan. To train a gorilla, one, get an opera singer's vocal cords, and that's it. Not the larynx, not, like, the complicated parts of the brain that require language.
Yeah.
No. Just the vocal cords
themselves.
Well,
apparently themselves. You didn't need any of that.
Yeah,
apparently not.
So.
Apparently not. It works.
You can't argue with results.
Yeah,
Donald.
And then his plan is to get rich by having this gorilla go around and sing operas.
Well, he wanted a gorilla duo, a guy and a girl.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second. You just
but regardless of that,
and he trained the gorilla to like fly
I don't
a
really.
Plane
I honestly,
point.
I'm not sure.
Honestly, I think a gorilla that can fly a plane is a little more impressive than a gorilla that can sing opera. Although I'm unsure how you would pay to see a gorilla fly a plane. Perhaps you would pay extra, and then the gorilla would like fly you a place you needed to go.
I also am not convinced that I would go to see an opera with two gorillas singing more than I would go to see an opera with one gorilla singing.
That was opera.
I mean, I feel
it
like
incredibly boring.
I feel like once you have the gimmick, it doesn't really matter how much of the
unless
gimmick you have.
Unless they were doing like a whole opera with an all gorilla cast.
Even
I mean,
then, I
wouldn't
go.
Well,
I guess
at that point, it's more that you hate opera, though. To be fair,
people liked opera back then.
Probably more than now.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Probably more than now.
Yeah, Opera Southwest. This is a true story. About 4 years ago, Opera Southwest put on a production of Madame Butterfly, which is sort of about love, but also an intensely sad opera.
Yeah.
And it sold out because they'd scheduled it on Valentine's Day. And they were so incredibly surprised by that that they, like, literally had no idea what to do with, like, the fact that they were actually making money for once.
And then they canceled it.
No, they kept doing it, but it was still really weird.
Yeah.
That opera's weird. There's, like, a Japanese woman and an American man. And they fall in love. And the way everyone communicates in it is by singing at each other in Italian. Which doesn't make sense because, I mean,
Sounds like what I know of opera, though.
I'm going to point this out to you. Americans don't speak Italian. Japanese don't speak Italian.
Didn't an Italian composer make it?
I think Verdi or whatever the fuck.
Puccini.
Puccini. No, that's not right.
Mozart.
No.
La Donna e Mobile.
I was wrong. It turns out it's the Bullfighter song. the greatest opera composer there ever was. Anyways, so the doctor has this insane plan to take the theater world by storm.
Make a moderate amount of money by managing two decently popular opera singers, I guess.
Who are also gorillas.
Yeah.
Which I guess is the bigger deal. I don't know.
I mean, a talking gorilla... How much more money is a talking gorilla... Or a gorilla that can sing opera going to make versus just a talking gorilla?
I don't know.
Probably not a lot more.
Yeah, I guess it does open a few more gigs to you, but...
I mean, really, what applications does a talking gorilla even have?
Well,
if you just want people to pay for the privilege to see...
It's just then a circus freak.
Then you could achieve the same effect with just a gorilla and a guy who's good at ventriloquism.
Well, then people would know. I mean, if people figured it out, then you lose your gimmick.
Well, you just keep moving from town to town. This is a carny act he is
describing. There's no internet.
I mean, but it's not like it's going to change the world. It's not like you're making an army of gorilla people or something.
Stalin tried to breed an army of half-gorilla, half-humans.
The problem with you is that you constantly think in militant terms.
Yeah.
This guy's just thinking about how he can make
a peaceful dollar. If you want to take over the world with an army of gorillas, like, this is not the way. You know?
Yeah, yes. I don't think that there was ever that claim made.
Although, I'm surprised he didn't whip that out at the end. He's kept it entirely with, I'm trying to make money. But he's a mad scientist. He should have been trying to conquer the world
somehow. I feel like for,
a little higher guy.
For how ridiculous his scheme is, the payout is so low.
Yeah.
You know? Like, making some money off of a couple opera singers.
I mean, he could have trained real opera singers if he's so fucking
It probably would have been easier.
It would have been better, right?
Yeah. It 100% would have been easier than to train a gorilla.
Train a gorilla! Like, I just...
Now, a gorilla that could talk would actually be pretty interesting because it would give you insights into, like, what a non-human mind looks like, but it's definitely not going to... It would change a couple of fields, you know, cognitive science for one, and it would probably also have some religious implications depending on how intelligent the gorilla is, because a non-human intelligence, does it have a soul, does it not? So it is an interesting thing. It's not a great moneymaker.
You know, I get this impression that back in the day... A monkey/gorilla was viewed as a scary thing.
Well,
it's not really that scary anymore. It doesn't translate that
they
well.
They talk about it as a ferocious beast.
Yeah.
Gorillas are I can't stress this enough. They're very peaceful. Like, they're like... you piss one off, it'll rip your arms off. But in general, they are very peaceful. They don't hassle nobody. They just want to sit there digesting food and sleeping.
Yeah, I mean, when I was in the jungles of southern Borneo, I definitely got that feeling from the gorilla tribe I stayed with.
I should point out, there are no gorillas in Borneo.
Hey, you know that. I was there.
Orangutan.
Yeah, he's seen them.
I've seen them.
Gorillas in the mist.
That was in Africa. Borneo is in Sumatra or some shit.
Sumatra's in Africa.
It is not. It is in Asia.
Prove it.
Yeah, you can't prove it over audio, can you? Do you have a clip of an expert?
I guess I win this round.
Outfoxed.
Yeah, but anyway, that's pretty much the end of the episode.
No, we got a little bit more. So then the woman's like, okay, why are we here? And the guy's like, well, come into my laboratory and I'll show you. And he rants a little bit about how much he's given up.
I just want to point out that he says, come into my laboratory and I'll show you, and it's not sexual.
Yeah.
Which is
weird.
Yeah, I mean...
Right? I mean, like, I expected it to be sexual.
That is... That's how you use it.
I wanted it to be sexual, yeah.
Not that I wanted it to, but I thought his plot was going to be...
Liar.
about something sexual with the girl.
Because it's called Spawn of the Subhuman. Yeah. So it seems like it should be... I mean, it's 1941, 42, so they can't really... They'd have to imply this instead of showing.
Well, yeah,
but it seems like you should be trying to mate the girl with the gorilla, right?
Yeah.
That would explain what the Spawn of the Subhuman was.
Or, like, he wanted to be a gorilla, and he wanted her to be a gorilla so they could be together. Yeah. I don't know. But there was, like... For a guy who went out to live on an island, like, all he wanted to do... It just makes no sense to me. He had no sexual motivation for this at all. It's... I find it a little troubling.
I mean, maybe he was hooking up with that female gorilla. You know?
You think the doctor was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
As a human?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, so, possibly, but that doesn't seem like a very good motivation.
I think he had feelings.
There was never any indication of that.
She didn't have a line, and his interaction with her was limited to saying, I have a female gorilla.
Yeah.
So he leads the two humans and Stefan the gorilla into his laboratory. He's like, check out how modern and cool my laboratory is. I've given up everything, my career, all this stuff for this laboratory and this stupid, stupid plan. And
it's
then,
unclear how, like, how he got the laboratory. Or,
I don't
know. That's gone into.
It's unclear how he got
no
this plan for that matter.
Like, apparently it's a very modern laboratory, so yeah. It was clearly successful at some point.
Probably got some contractors out there. You know?
Must be. I figured it out. You could use the gorillas to make drugs.
What?
Oh my god.
Why would that be any better than just humans making drugs?
Yeah. All right. Bad plan.
I mean, here's the thing.
Oh, the gorillas can't be tried in
court.
Ronald just cracked his wide open.
That's just how the world works, my friend.
Yeah. And the guy says, here's an interesting thing. The guy says that he's been training this gorilla for 4.5 years, and then he had a breakthrough, and that's when he put the vocal cords in. Which means that the guy he abducted, we find out he abducted Stefan's the ape, whoever the opera singer
was. That
was
Stefan.
Okay, but he didn't turn Stefan into an ape, he just named the ape after Stefan.
Yes.
Which is
why it was double confusing for me.
Yeah. So anyways, he apparently abducted Stefan the human from his medical practice in California, from the doctor's medical practice, and then dragged him to this island where he had this ape laboratory. And then he either kept him alive in the ape laboratory for 4.5 years where he's like, let me train this ape and then I'm going to cut out your vocal cords. Or he somehow cut out his vocal cords and preserved them for 4.5 years.
Either way, it's pretty disturbing.
That's pretty hard, I think.
Throw it in a freezer. I mean, is it really that hard?
Then you've got freezer-burned vocal cords and you probably talk weird. Like,
yeah, man. The whole point is because he's an opera singer.
He goes like, I was in the freezer too long.
Yep, pretty much.
Wait, what if you chop off the head and then pump blood through it to keep it alive?
How is that easier than keeping a human alive?
You can't fight back?
Can't fight back? Think about it.
Okay.
Unless you gave him spider legs.
If I've learned anything... Yeah. If I've learned anything from Herbert West Reanimator, a severed head can fight back.
Oh,
it can also please a woman.
Well, we already knew that.
How is that a movie that got made?
Yeah, I actually didn't know that was based on a Lovecraft story until I read the Lovecraft story.
And then you're like, oh, wait, this is like...
That's pretty not related to the movie.
Certainly there's far less cunnilingus in the Lovecraft story.
I mean, there's still some, of course.
It's implied. Like all the sex in Lovecraft. So, let's finish this fucker off.
Yeah.
He leads him into the laboratory. There's a female ape there. And then he's like, now you, my dear, I'm going to transplant your vocal cords into this female ape so I can have them do duets. And then the woman, Emma, says, hey, oh, I remember. I totally forgot this up until now, even though I've apparently been obsessing over that day 5 years ago when the dude disappeared for forever. He was going to see you because he was losing his voice. And the doctor goes, no, that's not true, about 100 times.
Yeah, he throws a huge freaking tantrum.
Well, to be fair, apparently he sacrificed everything for this. Again, I can't stress this enough. This is the dumbest plan I have ever encountered in my entire life.
But also, I mean, her voice isn't going bad.
She does vow that if he tries to implant her vocal cords into it, this ape, she will ruin the vocal cords.
Well,
which, as we know, all opera singers' vocal cords implanted with self-destruct.
And also, like, if he just chloroforms her real quick, I don't really see how she could have stopped him.
Yeah, maybe he has to train this ape for another 5 years because he's really bad at things.
Yeah, maybe so.
So, anyways, he keeps singing, like, Sting, Stefan, or saying, Sing, Stefan, Sting, and Stefan singing. Stefan's voice is interesting. It is pretty classic what you think an opera singer's like. You know, a lot of that, like, type
vibrato.
Thing.
Vibrato.
Yeah. It's weird that I'm the one who's been in an opera, but I don't know that.
Yeah, because you clearly haven't, because you're lying about it. No, we've been in an opera, and you haven't.
Yeah. Are you sure you were thinking of us together as one person?
Yeah, we were a duo.
You were little, so you're doing that thing where, you know, on top of each other's
right,
shoulders in a trench
inside
coat.
Inside a trench coat.
Singing opera.
Yeah.
Vincent adult man.
Well, we were just, at the time, we were just doing the Little Rascals, but.
Yeah. And then Stefan keeps singing, but then he stops. The doctor's like, sing, and Stefan sings, but then stops, and it's supposed to indicate that he's losing his voice without the guy having to actually sing in a way that indicates he's losing his voice.
It's really lucky that it started happening right then.
Yeah, it's also really weird that, like, when he apparently either had the man or the vocal cords around for 4.5 years, why the fuck didn't he look at them?
Yeah.
But anyways, so then the doctor freaks out because apparently he's really angry that this plan is falling apart, and he decides that the best solution to this is to pull out a gun, and it's a little unclear at this point because what they were trying to portray, you know, they don't have the guy saying, I'll kill you, Stefan, but he apparently is trying to shoot Stefan because he's decided that a gorilla that can talk and fly planes is just not gonna cut it.
Totally useless.
Even if it could just fly planes and, like, mouth words, that'd still be pretty incredible, I think. But so he shoots Stefan a couple of times, and then he starts shouting. So I guess Stefan crushed him to death,
or bit him, or something.
Yeah, murdered him.
Probably both died.
Yeah.
So they both died, and that is the end of the episode, resolving almost nothing about, for instance, how they're going to escape this remote mountain compound.
Because, like, I'm not sure if Stefan just is dead or if he just reverted back to
being an animal. He does start grunting instead of talking at that point.
So it's like, can he still fly a plane?
I mean, if he's dead, he definitely can't.
Yeah. But I took it to mean that they killed each other.
Yeah, that's what I thought,
possible.
Too.
That's definitely possible, but do you think the female gorilla can fly a plane?
Yes. I am totally confident.
He just gave him the standard gorilla package. things I need you to be able to do, gorilla, are talk, help me in the laboratory, fly a plane, and sing opera.
Actually, if you could do that with gorillas, you could make an army of, like, flying pilot gorillas.
Okay,
why would that be more useful than an army of
human
beings?
Because you could just load the package, dude. It'd be so easy.
What?
Oh.
So you're saying that a gorilla pilot is preferable to a human pilot?
If you could just load data.
If you could put SD cards in their brains.
Because you think a gorilla is a computer.
Are they not? I'm sorry, have I been...
Gorillatron?
You're gonna keep any plan you come up with for gorillas is always gonna come back to the crucial flaw of it's always easier to do it with humans.
I know, it's ludicrous that he's just like, why bother training a gorilla to do anything?
Because a gorilla is like the most like a human thing that you can get. Like, I could see like a shark or
if he tried a shark to sing opera, I'd be really impressed.
I'm just saying, or a bird maybe, because like, a bird, at least those things have like some kind of advantage over humans. Like a gorilla, I guess, is stronger.
Yes, which would be helpful, not for an opera singer, maybe a little bit for a soldier. Again,
even a bit though, because he's probably less dexterous.
Stalin was supposedly interested in creating either a half human, half chimpanzee, or a half human, half gorilla, because they would be stronger. Less sensitive to pain and less likely to revolt. Sorry. And also he thought that they could eat, their diets were less specialized, which is simply not true. Humans can eat just about anything, whereas gorillas and chimps both have kind of not super restrictive diets.
Also,
but,
Stalin clearly didn't understand genetics at all.
Well, yeah, that too.
So
apparently the project was also partially funded as a way of showing that evolution was real and God wasn't, which is always a great place to start a scientific inquiry.
Wait, you can't mix a gorilla and a human?
You can't mix a chimpanzee and a human would be hard because they have a different number of chromosomes. I believe chimpanzees have one less than us. That doesn't necessarily mean you couldn't do it, but it would mean that the result would be sterile, and you might have to do weird shit with it. And what's the point? Again, you keep coming back to
it'd be pretty unlikely that you could actually fertilize an chimpanzee egg, or other way around, or vice versa.
Apparently, they were. I can only hope they were going to do it with artificial insemination.
Now, do you think you could mix in?
I mean, they were doing crazy ass weird experiments trying to mix humans and chimps. So
yeah,
I wouldn't be that surprised.
It is very funny to me that Stalin was like, "Okay, the thing that's really going to help me turn this whole like Soviet communism thing around is more dudes who are slightly stronger, yeah, as opposed to, for instance,
and dumber.
Yeah, as opposed to, for instance, better agricultural planning, or maybe not have me, a genocidal maniac, be in charge of it."
Yeah, well, of course, that's not an option. Lawrence.
Yeah, that's fair. That would require Stalin to be reasonable, and one of the defining traits of Stalin is that he was not.
And if he did that, then he probably wouldn't be breeding half chimp, half humans.
So. Yeah, I think at this point we just have to concede Stalin had a weird fetish.
I mean, did he?
I can see it.
Did he specifically authorize it?
Yeah, I believe. Okay, this is all hearsay.
Or
that I'm
most just like, make me a better army.
No, this is okay. Now this is all hearsay and shit. You know.
Yeah.
Like, apparently there was one dude who sort of was looking into it, but whatever. It's not, you know, like Stalin was pouring billions of dollars into this or something.
Rubles.
Yeah. Whatever.
Noob.
Millions of Stalin's fun bucks. Which was a brief it was a brief currency he introduced in the 1950s to try to improve Soviet morale. He was like, "How, comrades, how can you be unhappy?
Our
money is literally fun.
You can trade it for one potato."
My Stalin is almost identical to my Dracula, incidentally.
Dracula.
How can you be so unhappy? The children of the night. Such, yeah, whatever.
I am
Pennsylvania.
Dracula. This is my grave.
Yeah, mine's just Dracula from Blade 3. So.
Oh, I never got to Blade 3.
Blade, ready to die.
Ready, motherfucker.
That is something Blade would say.
Yeah, he did say it.
Yeah.
It was a quote.
So anyways, let's. I think we're about done with this. We've harped at, I believe, sufficient length about just how fucking stupid this plan is.
Dr. Luther, you are a disappointment.
That is the dumbest reason I could think of for trying to do anything with apes, is to turn them into a novelty opera. He's like
I could see an agent thinking, like, if he found a gorilla that could sing, being like, this could be perfect for my career.
Well, why would you invest 5 years in the most advanced, like, medicine
and
science?
And he's a mad scientist. He's not a freaking opera agent. I mean, I guess he was like a vocal cord expert or something like that, but still.
Which also raises the question of why the fuck he's also an expert on training goddamn apes.
Well,
those are pretty.
He's self-taught on that one. Because it's not really exactly a university course.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, primatology, sort of. But that's not really training them. It's more just what they do.
Hey, we should get degrees in primatology. Maybe we could do this.
I could do it
better than Dr. Luther.
I looked into it. Okay, doing it better than Dr. Luther is not hard. But
Have you ever tried transplanting human vocal cords into a gorilla, man?
I know.
It's trickier than you might think.
I'm smart enough to think that that's a stupid idea that you shouldn't do, because you're almost certainly going to kill the gorilla.
But maybe you're
this kills
too
the
old.
Gorilla.
Maybe you should be, you know, thinking bigger. Think bigger. Think outside the box.
Okay.
Yeah.
Stretch yourself.
Think gorilla opera singer.
Strength comes from within, Lawrence.
I think we're going to have to edit this episode a little more heavily than
the
last
answers
one.
You seek lie within.
Hey.
What are you, a fortune cookie?
Yeah, we're definitely
going to
have to.
You will be very happy tomorrow.
Anyways, let's go around the horn. And Raul, would you recommend this?
No, I would not. I would probably not even skip to the ending because it was sort of anticlimactic.
Also, the twist that the pilot is a gorilla happens halfway through, so
that's the best part.
Yeah, that was funnier than the gorilla
for
opera
that twist. Personally, I didn't even really think it was funny.
Well, it's not supposed to be. That's the great thing about this episode. It's not supposed to be funny.
I thought it was a little bit sexy, if I'm going to be honest. Especially with the heart with a hairy arm.
Yeah.
And she's all freaked out. He's a great big titty arm.
She didn't have that accent.
He's a great big titty arm.
Come now.
Ronald?
Yeah, so that part was sick, but otherwise.
Yeah, I would say, listen to only the second act. Even though you might think, wow, I'm not going to understand what's going on. You will. because nothing happens in the first act.
She got kind of bummed out about a rainstorm.
Yeah, and the rest of it's pretty ludicrous. Yeah, that really annoyed me how they talked so much about the rainstorm and the accident, and then it ended up that that really had nothing to do with the current predicament. Like, the guy that disappeared wasn't even in the car, which
he's
I thought originally.
Writing, you know, like,
yeah.
I had heard this a long time ago and remembered it for its extreme dumbness and thought it would be good for the show. When I heard it again this time, I was convinced that the mad scientist also had weather control, because it's the only goddamn thing that makes sense. Or that he was somehow, the gorilla was, like, using its vocal prowess to summon storms.
I mean, yeah, like, why did they even go into her sixth sense?
Because,
like,
they gotta take up to the time somehow,
yeah.
Dude.
Also, so, there was also a part where she was like, it looks like our plane wasn't even in a rainstorm. And I thought it was because they switched the planes or they got on the wrong plane or something. But it turns out that had nothing
storm.
To do with
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
I mean, would you be able to tell if your plane was in a rainstorm? I feel like you wouldn't.
Yeah, I think the
water
most
would just get all sucked
yeah.
off.
And as for me, I'm going to give this one a medium-ish recommend. I know we've harped on it sufficiently. You can't really understand just how stupid this thing is until you've heard it for yourself. And it would be better if you went in cold, but because it starts off as this woman's having a premonition, and then the second half, a goddamn talking gorilla shows up. And it's presented entirely straight. There is no indication that the person who wrote this thought that it was funny. They're just like, this will really scare people. That there's
yeah.
a singing gorilla, and that a person might have her vocal cords removed and put in another gorilla so that it can also sing.
Yeah.
So that's very amusing to me. And I think it would be amusing to you, too.
I mean, yeah. It was funny, but overall, do not recommend
it. Again, you know what you're getting into on this. You can make
yeah.
your own decision. I think you should check it out. And finally, let's go around and do our... Oh, before that, mailbag segment. Now, we obviously don't have any mail because we haven't started releasing podcasts
yet. Do
you
want me to read this?
No, because it's boring. He held up an envelope that a postcard from my father came in.
Yeah, he was climbing the Matterhorn, actually.
And he was menaced by a Yeti.
That's boring.
Well,
we accidentally made it.
Okay, why is there... Okay, so the Matterhorn is a Swiss mountain. Why does the Disney version of it have a Yeti, which is a thing from Nepal, in it?
What Disney version?
The Matterhorn bobsleds.
Dude,
that's
a roller coaster.
Just because they've seen it in Nepal before doesn't mean he doesn't go on vacation.
Maybe he's on the bobsledding team. You didn't think about that?
He'd probably be good at it.
I don't know. He's
heavy. Good balanced, you know?
He is very heavy. I think that the
he
fact...
He stabilize it very well.
He is a ferocious man-eating monster, though,
which
so...
Which is pretty tight, yeah. That's tight.
That seems like it might create friction with the other teammates a little. Because he would kill and eat them.
Oh, I thought you meant a different kind of friction.
Yeah, you don't want that kind of friction in a bobsled. That slows you down.
Yeah, you pop a boner, it ruins your wind resistance.
Yes. That's what I meant.
That is correct.
Anyways, so mailbag. I thought this is the sort of question a podcast usually gets. We could talk a little bit about how we know each other. So I met these guys in high school. Albuquerque Academy, go Chargers. We were the Chargers, right?
We were the Patriots, actually.
Oh, shit. No wonder people kept looking at me weird when I was cheering for the Chargers at the many athletic events I attended.
I'm sure. Actually, I didn't go to high school with these guys. I'm being held here against my will.
Oh, shit. Well,
this is authorization to break in the door.
Someone's getting the punishment stick tonight, Ronald. Raul and I were on the soccer team together, and I don't know, Ronald and I would just hang out with the same people. And as for where we got the idea for this podcast, I wanted to do a podcast for a while because I love them. And then I mercenarily thought, okay, I need a podcast. Bad, you know, movie podcasts are really popular. And then there are bad book podcasts. And there's even a bad role-playing game podcast. So I thought the bad thing concept is a sound one for a podcast. But what can I do that I know a lot about, but there isn't a bad thing podcast of that yet? And I thought old time radio. So here we are. It's not a sexy story. I don't know why I told
you. Bad podcast.
Because at that level of metafiction, we like
metafiction.
We do that for like four podcast, and then it turns out we're in a goddamn Charlie Kaufman movie, and I never understand what's going on in this.
Charlie Kaufman.
Also, think about this. The whole community would hate us.
Yeah, that too.
There's a podcast community?
A little bit.
Well, there might be, and they'd rally up to kill us if we started making
that's
fun of their
cool.
stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's pretty tight.
We should do that.
We should definitely do that.
So, anyways, now it's time for recommendations. Rahul?
Wow. It's like you almost forgot my name.
Yeah, I kind of did a little bit. I was thinking
okay.
a happy world where you, I don't know you.
A happier world. So if I had to recommend something, it'd be the movie Dagon. It's pretty good. I think you should watch it.
And it has nothing to do with this podcast.
Oh, no.
Podcast.
But it's kind of scary.
It's horror.
It's
yeah,
closer than the last
Not that
thing.
This one was horror.
Wait, what was your last recommendation?
It was Invasion from Inner Earth.
Oh, that's right.
I didn't even remember you recommending that.
I don't really.
Well, he didn't remember the name. He called it
the Red Light movie.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
No,
so,
Dagon's good. Dagon's good.
Yeah, it's a Stuart Gordon movie from like 2001, the adaptation of Shadow of Innsmouth. It's excellent. Well,
after watching this, I definitely recommend watching the Simpsons episode based on the island of Dr. Moreau. Because it was way better than what we just listened to.
I don't know. It didn't have a singing gorilla.
Yeah, that's probably true. I don't remember it that well, but I do remember it's good. It's a Halloween special, so it's only like 8 minutes or something.
I think Dr. Hibbert's Moreau, and then it ends with Homer's a walrus, and he and Marge, who's a cat, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. That sounds about right. So, you know, it's pretty good overall.
Yeah. Certainly inspired a lot of my fan fictions.
Yep.
And for me, you guys, if you're listening to this podcast, have probably already done this, but if you haven't, you really need to check out the thing on the Warble board. It's a Quiet Please episode. It's frequently held up as like the best old-time radio horror. It's about a guy who's like an engineer on an oil rig, and he's required to stay there overnight, and he and his friend start, who's there with him, start hearing weird noises. And it goes to some places that are objectively almost as crazy as this, but because Willis O'Brien, Ernest Chappell, sorry, the fellow who does the acting on it and the fellow who wrote it, are both goddamn geniuses, it works, whereas this thing was just idiotic. And finally, plugs. Ronald?
Yeah, I'm at Wraith55 on Twitter.
Anything to plug, Raul?
Do not follow me.
Okay. Do you have something you would like them to do?
No.
Okay. Raul,
stay away from me.
Okay, so listeners, Raul wants you to fuck off and die.
That's probably accurate.
Yeah. See you guys next time.
Like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to? Send us a question for the mailbag or a pedantic correction. You can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna get rich, finger in the bottle.